Hey. Are we live now?
We are live.
All right.
I want to welcome everybody into the Sanjay and Jim show here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a great show.
Where's Sanjay?
I got a text. He's stuck in traffic. He's always stuck in traffic.
He does travel a lot, though.
He's been drinking coffee all morning. He's downstairs. Mm-hmm. Everything good in there, Big TJ?
Yeah, you're looking at me like I did something.
Yeah, no, it just kind of dropped out there for a second. I just want to make sure we're not just talking to ourselves.
I want to thank Chick-fil-A.
The unofficial sponsor that Marla just woofed down to.
It's not our unofficial sponsor.
You didn't have breakfast?
Sponsor. It's our non-sponsor.
I did. I'm hungry all the time now. Oh, my God.
You're going to blow up like a balloon.
My God. I'm telling you, this week I've been eating. You know why? I started a new workout. I did.
Tell us about it. What kind of workout?
So, I mean, this is an unofficial plug for Hotworks. Have you guys heard about this?
They won't let me in Hotworks. You got to walk in and they got to.
Oh, you're too cool for it.
I'm not too cool with everyone.
It's only for hot people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so Hotworks is it's actual cardio equipment inside saunas that heat up to 130 degrees.
Uh-huh. It'd be dead work for me.
I'm certified in CPR.
Well, I have to be honest with you. The first time I did it, I was a little nervous because I'm like, this is the crap that you would hear, like, you know, 50-year-old in-shape woman dies in hot work studio because it's like a shock to your system. So you go in, you can only be in 15 minutes per workout, and you do, it's all by video. So there's like three machines. There's an elliptical machine in one sauna. Then you have a bike, and then you have rowing machines. You go in for 15 minutes. The heat cranks up to 130 degrees, and you're rowing and pushing through this whole thing, right? So at the end of 15 minutes, you're pouring of sweat, and you feel like you've been through an hour of cardio. And that's the whole idea, is that, you know, you have this afterburn, and, you know, scientifically, you burn three times the amount of calories in 15 minutes.
It's got to be monitored. So somebody, I guess they got to have some standards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to. That's the part. It's a newer franchise that it always, as a nurse, I walk in there. I'm like, oh, my God, can you imagine? What if a 60-year-old man who is not in good health condition wants to try this?
Hold on. Why are you looking at me?
I'm a 60-year-old man.
I mean, you know, after we all just like...
Why'd you look at me and Joe and not?
I'm just saying, think about it. Like, you know, if you have high blood pressure or all that, you would be certainly...
Well, I'm sure there's people with paddles standing ready.
No, you know, that's a good point. I should probably check to see if there's an AED because when I'm in there. But they do have buttons you could take in with you if you had a problem or like something.
Or somebody's bothering you.
There's usually somebody there. But you can also, I mean, I think personally it's made a difference in everything. Because, you know, when you sweat, you detox a lot, you know, and you really just pour of water. I mean, so you got to hydrate.
Well, it's definitely it's an interesting thing. I would, but your scenario is an interesting one. You wonder if they have safety precautions, because that has lawsuits written all over it.
Well, it does. There's all these disclaimers. You have to sign a waiver. So, you know, I mean, they're basically.
We have Howard Taylor going to be on. We should ask him, would those waivers hold up?
Well, it's a great point. I remember.
Is Howard on the line yet?
I don't think he's on the line.
All right, call him now because we have a question for him.
And when you get a chance, my computer's down, so we can actually see when he's here. But
everything here is broken.
Right. But let me say one thing. It's funny. I think I told you, I mentioned this several times. We do a lot of injury law and a lot of, injured workers and stuff. And I had, when I was in the nightlife business, I had done a lot of depositions for the defense side, okay, because you get slip and falls and all those things. I remember one time going into court, going into a lawyer's office to do a deposition. I was walking with my lawyer, and I said, Henry, can't we have somebody sign something, you know, like and his answer was, It might hurt you worse than, because basically what you're trying to say is, I don't want to be liable for anything that I do, and so I find that, like, in other words, you know, signing all those papers, and I'm sure they had their lawyers all over it, but I'm wondering if it, it, you know, if it would matter, like Dr. Jim said, if somebody takes a heart attack, you know, in that, you know, can you get rid of all liability just by signing?
I don't think so.
Kind of, yeah.
I think there's always a loophole with stuff like that. And, you know, sadly, the society that we are in is very sue oriented now. I mean, people are looking for, especially with inflation from, you know, in the past 4 years.
Biden economics.
Yeah. I mean, if and whatever it is, COVID or.
Yeah,
you know.
No, no question. Can I sue TJ? I just, you know, for no apparent reason.
He bumped your chair?
He did bump my chair, and I'm feeling my back is killing me
right
now. You
should head right over to my office. We'll start treatment.
You can see the issue.
We should open up the lines on this and see if people really have questions because, you know, think about it. Like, a lot of people do some...
329-3306. Is Howard Taylor with us yet? Okay.
So, yeah, no, we have a caller.
We have a couple of questions. Oh, we have a caller already?
Well, we have, I believe we have...
Howard Taylor's on.
Oh, cool.
Howard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's great to hear your voice.
Hi, Howard.
Hi.
That's Marla.
And I'm Joe Dougherty.
Joe Dougherty.
Great to have you on the show, Howard. How are you?
We have flowers on your chair. You're supposed to be here with us.
I know. I apologize. It's just life.
Well,
gets in the way.
It's funny you mention that, Howard.
Well, we have a legal question.
Well, we do have that, but we also have a policy. When you can't make the live show, we typically pre-record our next show at either your office or your house around midnight on a Tuesday. So just put the put the key under the mat. We can't wait to
get there. You
go. We do. So which way do you want to frame this one, Jim?
Well, Marla had a question, a legal question. Go ahead, Marla.
How are you doing today? Nice to meet you.
I'm okay. Nice to meet you as well.
So we were just talking about liability and waivers. So I recently joined a gym called Hot Works, and it's an extreme type of membership where you go into these saunas and actually complete your workouts, and the temperatures go up to like 130 degrees. Now, I've been working out my whole life. Going in there, it was a little transition for me, but I can feel like when I come out, I'm a little lightheaded, or if I didn't drink, you know, appropriate amounts of water, et cetera. And I'm okay. But when you're thinking about the liability of this company, for people who are maybe, you know, have some type of comorbidities.
Be careful.
Comorbidities, you know, maybe overweight, hypertension, or maybe they're
60 years old.
60. They have no hair. They have a checkered shirt on.
Hey, not at all.
And a black one.
That sounds like a description.
Yeah.
That's me. They're making fun of again.
Wearing glasses with a dollar store sticker on them.
She's describing us now, Howard. And by the way, Jim and I tried to get in. They won't even let us in the door, but that's another story.
Yeah, like sitting in front
of... Discrimination. That's discrimination.
Sitting in front of Chick-fil-A and a Cherry Coke... if somebody walks in unprepared for this workout and thinking they're heroic because they feel good, even though hypertension is the silent killer and there's really not too many symptoms before that and they have a big stroke.
Blah, blah,
at
blah,
what
blah.
Level of liability, even if the company says we're
you
not.
Sign, what's yes, it, what's it, what's it
the
called?
Waiver.
The waiver.
Mm-hmm. The waiver.
Is there a signed waiver?
There is. There's a signed waiver basically just says you're at your own risk kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sign away, the company can't sign away their own negligence by law.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be a situation where they're totally innocent or exculpated by a waiver. However, there's also a common sense factor, too. And if you have these issues, I think at some point you have a duty to disclose. If you don't disclose the issues, and you take your own, you know, you basically are taking your own chances on something that you know and nobody else could reasonably know, then you probably would be held responsible.
Interesting.
And wouldn't be able to make
it. Sounds like it's possible, just by the way you actually described that, that you're probably in that waiver required to disclose certain information. Okay, you're probably in the fine print. Okay, and if you don't, and we unfortunately, how rare is it that you get a waiver, and you take it to your lawyer to review it? You know, you just
nobody does.
Nobody. It's like going to settlement. Okay,
I wouldn't be worried about the waiver as much as you're testing a known danger. You know, you can't. The waivers usually are held to be unenforceable within reason. It's a reasonableness standard. But if you are aware that you have a health situation and ignore your own health situation, and what I said before, test a known danger, then you probably are going to be held responsible for your issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that where it comes into play is, you know, to have some kind of data on these people and whether or not they've done those clinical data trials, and so to speak, because, like, I know even in cardiology, you have to have cardiac clearance before you can start any exercise regimen. And there's that middle spot of cardiac rehab that they put in place to protect the patient from just jumping in, like, after a heart attack or a cardiac event or some kind of sickness. So I would think, you know, now we're supposedly dealing with healthy people who go to the gym to pursue these kind of workouts. But I was just curious, and it was a good point.
Go ahead. I have a question on that negligent part. We had a hospitality place in Center City. People would, you know, when times are rough, we'd get all kinds of lawsuits for slip and falls that we wouldn't have incident reports for, right? And so now there was a place right next to us that had one of those mechanical bowls. And when you jumped on the mechanical bowl, not in our place, but the place owned by Bar Investment Group, it was right next to Tiki Bob's down on 3rd Street, you had to sign one of those waivers. So I was doing a deposition one time with my lawyer, and I said, you know, when you come into a club, there's potentially, and we had no steps. We had some step, a couple steps to the VIP and a couple steps out, but that, you know, so we didn't, but you know, sometimes, you know, the floor might get wet during the, you know, somebody might drop a drink. And so that seems to me to be that, you know, like you're going to take that in the, you know, like that's a part of the atmosphere, and you should be aware of that. My point was, I asked my lawyer as we were going to do this deposition, if we could make people sign a waiver. And his answer, by the way, was exactly yours. He said, it may hurt you because you're actually admitting that you're going to be negligent, and it could be. And then my answer to him was, well, what about the mechanical bull? Okay. In other words, you're taking on some responsibility by walking into a nightclub, and the same thing when you decide to ride a mechanical bull, like, you know, if you fall out of that thing and somehow break your neck or something like that. So his answer was the same, sort of the same as yours. Can you comment on that and why, one, you could sign a waiver for a mechanical bull and not walking into a crowded nightclub where there's potential slip and falls all over the place?
Again, you can't, the waiver is not the issue, because you can't waive your own negligence. The question is the negligence, and a couple things along those lines. One, as far as the mechanical bull, everybody knows that a mechanical bull is a potential danger, health risk. So you almost by definition have assumed the risk when you get on one of those things. Everybody knows, you know, it's a common sense, what would the reasonable man do argument or issue. But as far as the slip and falls, again, you can't sign away your own negligence. If you have a duty as the owner of the place or the landlord, whatever, to police the floor to make sure that it's reasonably safe. Now, that being said, there's a notice issue, so that you would you can't just sue because, I tell my clients when they come in, water's probably the worst thing that you can make a claim for, because the landlord or the person that's managing the property has a duty to conduct reasonable security or attempts to make sure that there's nothing there. And reasonable it's a relative standard, but basically what it comes down to is you have to either show that they had actual notice of the water, meaning like, you know, a guy was mopping the floor and forgot to put a wet floor sign down, and went to get them. And I've had this case. He goes to get a mop, knowing that there's a problem there, and doesn't put a sign down, the person slips and falls, here comes the guy with the mop, and he's the guy's already on the floor. Yeah. So there's a situation where they had actual notice of the water on the floor. But water usually, I mean, water by definition dries fairly quickly. So water's not good because you have to give the establishment an opportunity to clean up the water. You can't, they're not going to be responsible if somebody drops a drink and somebody's 2 feet behind them and falls in it. That's on the person, and probably not going to be able to sue the person for dropping the drink.
And by the way, that makes sense. But the proper answer was, Joe, you're a genius. Nobody's ever thought of that before, and you're right. But
all right, well, you know what? We have Howard Taylor on the line, WWDB, and Howard, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Where did you go to high school? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up on the main line, Penn Valley, which is west of City Avenue. So basically the near suburbs. Went to high school at Harrington High School, which is Lower Marion Township, Kobe Bryant country.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And I, although I'm a little bit older than him, I'm his father's age. And then I went to Temple undergrad and Temple Law School.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And so I'm a Philly boy the whole way. My father was an attorney, and I went into his firm and then took it over. Coincidentally or not, my mother's father, my grandfather, maternal grandfather, he was a pretty prominent attorney in the city too, representing, he did at a basically general practice, but he was nominated to represent the United States at Nuremberg. So he was.
I remember you telling me that.
I read that. Yeah.
Yep. He's one of very few prosecuting attorneys for the U.S. at Nuremberg.
Now, what was his name?
Morris Colander.
Okay. Wow.
So I've been destined to be a lawyer all my life.
Yes, you were. You were groomed for that. What's your contact information, Howard?
Well, my website is taylorlawphilly.com, and my contact information is our offices are right on the corner of Broad and Sansom, two blocks from City Hall, and it's 123 South Broad Street. And phone number 215-732-9300.
Now, they could just do a search, Howard Taylor, and find your information.
Do that too. Yes.
Okay.
What type of
Google? Would you mind if we opened the phone lines, Howard, if anybody had any legal questions? 888-329-3306. We have Howard Taylor, who's an attorney, on the phone. What do you specialize in, Howard?
We are mostly a personal injury firm. For crazy reasons, I guess I got involved with harness racing, which is it's a horse racing, but with the carts.
I read that.
And,
yeah.
You know, I did.
Joe just started reading. He's reading everything in sight.
I got problems here, Howard, but you know that you can hear right now.
Now we have somebody that just came in to the studio.
Yeah, we do. He's been here since 9 o'clock this morning drinking coffee.
Yeah, and he's got the first dibs on the Chick-fil-A.
Do you hear the music in the background?
Dr. Sanjay Mednati.
Do you know why
we're
playing that? He's a sharp-dressed man.
Yeah. He did. He just came in with his Miami jacket on.
ZZ Top.
Yeah. I thought that was, what was that show?
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice, yeah.
Did you pull up in your Ferrari?
Don Johnson, yeah.
All right. That's Howard, great. We have Sanjay Mednati of Oxford Valley Pain and Spine here with us, too.
Hi, Howard.
Very familiar with. How are you, doctor?
Good, sir. How are you doing?
You've had depositions, haven't you? With
yes,
Howard?
We have. We've had used him on he's an excellent physician, and we've had a lot of clients that
have treated
with Dr. Mednati.
Yeah. Well, you and I had a case together, a couple cases.
We've had, more than one.
Yeah, we've done well together.
Yes.
All right, so 888-329-3306, Howard Taylor does personal injury. I guess we're hoping for a good winter this year.
Yep.
These weak winters.
I also do equine law, I guess, and I sort of backed into that because of my horse racing background. So I found out, and I'm not the most computer literate person in the world, but I found out that because I was getting calls from all over the country, that if you Google equine lawyer, I come up as number one in a lot
really?
Of web searches. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, where are you licensed to practice?
I am licensed only in Pennsylvania. I have three other lawyers working for me that are licensed in Jersey, but I routinely practice outside of Pennsylvania. Just get waived in. You file a motion and you can be admitted to practice law for the one case that you're asking to be. So I practice pretty much all over the country. I've tried cases in probably 15 states.
Okay. Now, where do you keep your horses boarded?
Horses are all
and how many
place.
Horses do you have? I've always been curious about that.
That one.
You're not allowed to answer that one.
I got a little carried away, and that there's been times where I've had north of 200.
So wow!
Yeah, I thought you were going to say two.
Mother of God!
And I wish it was. And they're all racehorses, so
how do you actually race them, or do you own them and somebody else races them?
I own them now. What I used to actually race them in the races, drive them like it's not a jockey. You're not on top of the horse. You're in the carts behind.
No, I've seen
so
that.
The weight doesn't. Yeah.
Like
so,
Ben Hur.
Yeah, I did that for years. Right. Exactly. But only one horse to the cart. but I used to do that full time, and I like to joke that then I got stupid and went to law school. That was a lot of fun.
Now, Howard, so. You're also a restaurateur, is that correct?
I'm between restaurants right now. Yeah, I used to own a couple of them, one in Center City and then two on the main line right on Bryn Mawr Avenue next to the movie theater. I had a restaurant called Carmine's, a Cajun restaurant, and then I followed that up with a Latin tapas restaurant called Vergat.
Okay, I'm just going to hold that thought right there. Mm-hmm. We have a surprise for our crew here.
Oh boy.
Guess who called in?
Who?
The Cookie Monster.
No way.
Okay, so do we have Judy on the line or the cookie? The cookie.
Hello, Cookie.
Oh, you got the Cookie Monster.
Oh, God.
By the way.
Cookie.
Does he get pre-approval for all of these skits? Or what? I just want to know.
Why do you think I have anything to do with this?
No, I never think that.
Cookie loves Sanjay and Jimmy. Cookie wants you sing song.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we got problems here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the show really went downhill now.
Sanjay and Jimmy, that's good enough for me. Sanjay
like you're losing control.
All right.
We'll see you there,
all
Cookie
right.
Monster. You're the best.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, Cookie Monster. Right from Sesame Place.
So Howard, we got hijacked.
Sorry,
there
Howard.
Sorry about that.
What just happened? I mean, I looked down at my phone for like a half a second.
And everything changed?
Yeah, I was like back on Sesame Street, like at 5 years old.
All right, Howard, let's get back to you.
Yeah, so you talk about, I saw the heritage of the firm. It started in 1956.
Yeah, that was my dad.
And you specialize, when you talk about personal injury, what types of personal injury, because it's a wide array.
No, it is, and we pretty much run the gamut. We do everything that we need to do, plus we do workman's comp. A little bit of criminal now. We have an attorney that's got a big criminal background, Harry Feinberg. So he's joined us, and he takes some of that burden from us. So we pretty much are able to accommodate any client for most things that they would need an attorney for.
And workers' compensation. Talk about that, if you would, because it's a it's a specialty, obviously. And there's not, obviously, it's an area of the law that is, representation. Not a lot of people do it. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where you really need volume to make it work. We do it. We don't encourage it, but we do it when we have to. And mostly tied into a third-party case. So the client is injured on duty. We're there for them, and we try to help every way we can for every case and every client. So we do get involved with that, and been successful with that. So.
And you're on what's the intersection there? Broad and
right on the corner of Broad and Sansom. It's the Wells Fargo Building, which is famous for Trading Places, the movie Trading Places.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was filmed here, and they actually have a floor that's just dedicated to Trading Places. They have actually have wallpaper from the movie. Yeah.
Let's talk about what what clients can expect when your firm is representing them. Talk about the culture at the firm.
Well, I pride myself that we don't do any advertising. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it worked for me. I've been lucky enough, and we do everything hands-on and personable. We answer all the phone calls. So, as I said, I'm not the most computer literate, but I've just been informed that what I have is all 5-star reviews. I have my clients have reviewed, and then, interestingly, I've got reviews from other lawyers that I've either gone against or that have co-plaintiffs, co-counsel, and they've given me all 5-star reviews. So we've done good. We treat the clients well. I'd like to say that my clients all love me, and they are responsible
word of mouth is really the best.
Well, I can say personally, Howard's fantastic. I've worked with him closely. 888-329-3306. If anybody listening who has a legal question for Howard Taylor, who's a personal injury workers' comp attorney in Philadelphia.
We do have a caller. Is Michelle on the line?
Yes.
Michelle, how can we help you?
Okay. I have a workman's comp question.
Sure.
I deal with the school district, and I take care of kids that's like acting out. This little boy hit me in the face with a book.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
So.
And when, all, by the way.
All the principal did was tell me put ice on it.
Okay.
But how can I go about I got injured in a workplace?
Yeah, okay. So but Howard's going to take that, but I just wanted to ask, did you get injured? You were assaulted.
Yes.
So that, Howard, that should be something you can look at from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how old was the kid? How old was the kid?
The kid was around 5-6 years old.
Okay. Howard?
Well, unfortunately.
You can't chastise him. You can't hit him. You can't do anything.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
You can't hit the kid. You can't chastise him.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, that's a tough standard, the woke era. But unfortunately, under Pennsylvania law, you can't sue your employer. I doubt you're going to get too far suing the 5-year-old. And unless it's something that was known to the parents as a risk, I don't know that you could go after them. You are entitled to workman's comp and coverage, which would be your lost wages and any medical they would have to pay if you were injured and needed any medical attention. As far as the way the principal handled it, that sounded very wrong. And I would, unfortunately, the only thing you could do under those circumstances is file a complaint with the school board as to how it was handled, and maybe that they're putting you into an unfair and dangerous situation.
That's a good point.
No question. No question about that. Question. Do you how bad are you hurt?
Actually, I had a gash on my forehead and bruises on my cheek from the book. It was a hard book.
Okay. Now, after they heal, well, I'm assuming if you had a gash or maybe a scar.
It is.
By the way, how about going to your union rep?
Yeah. Okay.
When did this happen?
Last week.
Oh, okay. So, if there's a visible scar that doesn't go away, and, you have plenty of time. You have 2 years before you have to worry about it. But if there's a visible scar that doesn't go away, the Workman's Comp Act does allow for reimbursement for that along the lines of a personal injury case, but not really a personal injury case.
Okay.
How about if we have Michelle leave her number?
Yeah, so Howard can talk to her. Absolutely.
I'd be happy to talk to you.
Michelle, before you go, give TJ, our producer, your contact information, and Howard will be happy to talk to you.
All right.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
888-329-3306. We have Howard Taylor, who is a personal injury and workers' compensation lawyer in Philadelphia.
You know, no, it's that type of situation. Are there, so I'm wondering if there's a collective bargaining, there is a collective bargaining agreement with the school district and the teachers, but I wonder if, Howard, if there's a any rules there, in there, any stipulate that the individual who gets hurt has to go to a specific medical provider. Go ahead.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's a list which should be provided to her if it's not posted of approved doctors for pretty much any and all categories of injuries, and she would have to follow up with one of those. And I'm sure that, well, there's an obligation to provide the list if it's not posted. But for a scar, like I said, there are some exceptions under the Workman's Comp Act, which do allow for specific injuries to be reimbursed. And that is one of them, provided that this is something that's not going to go away.
Yeah, no question about it. And certainly, like you mentioned, the list of panel doctors, lucky, you know, you get a... you can always get a second opinion. That's a very difficult situation when especially such a young kid, you know, and you know,
it's
you know, that's,
and especially under the circumstances that he is. I mean, he's there for a reason in that specific environment.
That's a good point.
You know, no question about it. Howard, let's talk about. Obviously, you know, you talk about when somebody gets injured and there is a third party component. You how does that work when do you normally get somebody who comes in because they got in a car accident and then you find out that they were at work, or do you find out that?
I usually know that stuff going in. And like I said, that we take care of that. We are full service. I pride myself on the customer service aspects, which is, you know, how we've been in business for all those years without any advertising. We just take care of it just as part of the normal personal injury case.
Now, you do a lot of auto work too, correct?
Yes, that's the majority of our firm.
Could you explain to the listeners when they have the option of limited or full tort, what the importance is with that?
It's extremely important, and unfortunately, I don't think the insurance, and I'm sure that it's not coincidental, but the insurance companies, they don't do a good job of explaining the difference, and that's for the reason that they, let me backtrack. Limited tort means that you have agreed when you sign up for your insurance to get your policy that you've agreed to waive your right to sue unless you have specific and severe injuries. And in exchange for that, because you say, well, why would anybody agree to that? They give you a substantially reduced premium. Now, what they do is they say, I can save you a lot of money, usually. They'll say, I can save you a lot of money, just sign here, and you'll get like a big reduction in the premium. And most people are more than happy to sign to get a reduction, not understanding that what they're doing is waiving their right to sue. And they don't know or realize until that becomes a relevant factor. They go to a lawyer and they want to make a claim, and it does happen. And I have to tell them that that you're fortunately, the good news is that you're not seriously injured. The bad news is because you're not seriously enough injured, you've waived your right to make the claim. Now, when I say make the claim, I am talking about non-economic injuries. So under any circumstances, as long as you're not at fault for the case, for the accident, you do get reimbursed for any of your out-of-pocket expenses, lost wages, your car, any of the medical expenses that aren't covered under your policy. But limited tort's been, it's made life a lot tougher on personal injury attorneys, because the insurance companies are very successful in getting people to sign up for limited tort. And people, as I said, they don't really understand what they're waiving until they need it, and then it becomes explained to them. But full tort, obviously, is just the opposite. You pay a little more, and you get you can make a claim for any injury at any time. And unfortunately, I'd say in the city of Philadelphia, probably 75% or more of the people do have limited tort.
How many people don't even? How many people just think they have full coverage and don't even know what they got?
Oh, and there's another issue. I'm glad you brought that up, because everybody says to me, "I have full coverage," thinking that I have full tort, and there is a difference. Full coverage in the vernacular in the industry, it means to me that you have collision coverage on your car. That's what the insurance companies call full coverage, is that if your car gets hit and it's your fault, or gets into an accident, it's your fault, that you do have collision coverage in addition to the basic medical. But you can have full coverage and not have full tort. And I see that quite a bit. And like you said, people don't understand, and they hear full coverage, they assume that that means they're covered for everything, including full tort, and that is not the case most of the time.
What about uninsured and underinsured motorists?
Fortunately, they don't do a good job of convincing people to weigh that. What it is uninsured motorists, is that if you get hit, you're not at fault, but the person that was at fault is either uninsured or takes off and you don't have the information, then you can present a claim to your company for uninsured motorist coverage. And that is a contract action, so that's up to your limits on the policy. And those are real easy cases for us. We love them because, obviously, if it's a uninsured person or a phantom, what do you call a phantom vehicle, he took off, they're not going to show up for a hearing. So it's basically you just talking about your injuries and somebody coming up with a number of what you'd be entitled to, and or we settle the case. Underinsured is very similar, but the person has insurance, is identified, but not sufficient insurance. And what happens is you get a tender offer of that person's policy limits, and then you go after your company for additional coverages that you'll have on the policy for underinsured motorist coverage. And again, it's very similar to a uninsured motorist claim, except for that you've already recovered something, but not enough for your injuries.
So we got a caller. Howard, give us a minute. Mm-hmm. We have Tara calling in. Tara, how can we help you?
Hi. I have a question.
What's it?
I am a teacher, and I know in the news recently there's been a lot about school violence in schools.
Right.
I teach middle school, okay? What rights do we have as teachers? Like, I know our CBA has what we have to do if we're injured, but what legal rights do we have?
Howard?
As far as, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what legal rights.
What do you mean? You defend yourself? Is that what you mean?
Like, I'm a middle school teacher, so if we're injured or we're hurt or whatever,
okay,
what can we do to, like, protect ourselves?
Okay, well, to protect yourselves financially or to protect yourselves from further injury?
Like, if we're injured.
Okay, because it was on the news yesterday. I had a client in my office last night. And she had just come from picking her daughter up at a middle school in the Northeast Philly, where two teachers got stabbed.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
exactly.
She was actually showing me the news footage from CBS News, where she was interviewed about that. And then
she got stabbed in the school by a student.
You didn't hear about this on Cottman Avenue?
There was two people. Yeah, two teachers who were trying some. I guess it was a seventh grader. Came in with a knife and got through. And there's something where I don't think that they would be protected by the workman's comp act. Because in that particular situation, there was a metal detector, and the metal detector didn't catch the knife that the student brought in. the student went to stab a couple fellow students. The teachers tried to intervene to help the students, and they themselves got stabbed. One of them was hospitalized.
Mm-hmm. So that would be workers' compensation and possibly an issue with negligent with the faulty metal detector. Is that
right,
correct?
That's exactly the situation. There's a situation where you might be able to get around the workman's comp limitations because of the failure of the metal detector to detect mm-hmm. and to allow.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, under those situations, there are opportunities to make a claim for your injuries, but in the majority of the situation, that's an exception to the rule. And then the workman's compensation, unfortunately, I don't know that it protects the employer, but it allows the employer to get away with more than they would under a normal third-party situation.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, mm-hmm. Tara. Yeah, I mean,
no
I can,
problem.
That is a very nerve-wracking situation. What, Howard, if you know, what about the criminal side? In other words, if a student, and you hope this never happens, obviously, but, you know, you have we've all seen on Reels or on YouTube or whatever the absolutely insanity, where students in extreme situations have gone after teachers. Is the teacher allowed to defend themselves?
Well, they're allowed to use reasonable. It's a case by case basis of a reasonableness standard. They're allowed to certainly take reasonable steps to protect themselves and to protect other students. I guess the collective bargaining agreement would spell out what they can do as far as disciplining or going after the student themselves.
Yeah, so because I can imagine that the rule does not protect the teacher probably the way it should. And I say that not knowing anything about it. So, for example, if you're trying to hold some 200-pound person, human being, who's swinging at you, okay, mm-hmm. and you're trying to hold them and detain them, and they don't do it. The only way is to hit back, and I imagine teachers are not allowed to do that under any circumstances.
No, they're not, and it does get frustrating. I'm sure. I'm not a teacher, but I've heard some of the horror stories, and you want to. And as a matter of fact, this incident yesterday, my client brought her daughter, who was in the school and was also interviewed. was right there when it happened, and she said that this particular student was 5'10", 185.
Wow.
And it was only like, she said he was enormous. He's like, he's a seventh grade student, so he's probably like in his 12, 13 year old range, and he was just enormous.
They likely saved the life of another student,
absolutely.
By jumping in there.
Right.
Ask you one question. This is really important, Howard. Is there a statute of limitations between nuns who beat you with a ruler back in 1978?
I was beaten to a pulp.
And parents also, because we would get our butt kicked by the nun, go home, tell our parents. They'd kick the crap out of us because...
Oh, I never told my family I got hit by the nuns.
Because you clearly did something wrong.
They knew I did something. I just kept it to myself.
Right, yeah. Yeah. No,
I was like an abused spouse.
Sister Mary Jean used to stand in the middle of the 80s in like, and the only reason why I remember I was in first grade in 81, because it's like the second number. That's like I remember everything.
I was a senior in high school and I was taller than you back then. Yeah,
you were. Well, not anymore. But she used to have a paddle that was like literally half the size of this table. And it would hang on a nail on the wall where she gave her announcements.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just a message. Like, and she hit somebody with one of those.
Wow.
Early 80s.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. Sister Jane made me scrub the floor with a dry Brillo pad. And, I had gotten into a prep school, in a prep high school. And while I was doing it, she was saying, and this is mental abuse, Howard. I'm hiring you after this show.
We're better people for it.
Yeah, I'm
today.
Definitely better.
These kids need that.
By the way, today's world needs that. She was humiliating me while I was scrubbing the floor with the dry Brillo pack. I can't believe you got in that school. I'm like, thank you. The self-esteem went right down that door.
Yeah.
If only they could see you now as a radio personality.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah,
well, yeah, look what you did.
Hold on, but this is steamed.
Look how you pulled yourself up.
Right there.
And that's all thanks to the nun.
That's right. Exactly.
Do you remember her name?
But wait.
Sister Jane.
Sister Rose used to beat me to a pulp. Let's interject for a little
hold
bit.
Hold on. Let me look that word up. Interject.
Interject and pulp. I do believe, and I was brought up in a very strict Sicilian family. My father was from Palermo. It could go either way, too much strict upbringing, people rebel and they become crazy and whatever. And I do have a cousin or two that's a little off kilter because of it. But I don't find anything wrong with instilling a little fear.
Because you're a bully.
I am a bully, and that's
who
I am.
You are a bully.
No, you know what it is?
Joe and I are terrified.
We're scared.
And Sanjay are terrified of you.
Well, no. I've actually had people tell me that.
I'm glad I'm not there.
No, listen, Howard, I swear to God.
Howard heard of you.
Yeah.
That's why he's hiding. He's in hiding.
Procedure.
No, I've had people tell me that I'm a little intimidating, and I don't think so. I think I'm like a little snug bear, like a cookie monster.
I go right with whatever you say.
Yes. Howard, I agree. I agree, Howard.
Always done that.
Yeah. I mean, now my kids, for example, they're not afraid of me. Valentina is definitely not afraid of me.
Your kids aren't afraid of you at all.
No.
Oh, my God. They walk all over you.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They talk back.
You should have seen the spatula that I pulled out yesterday. It was this big. I said, go ahead, Santino. Talk.
Oh, well, that's different.
We used to call my dad the big hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was his nickname. Aww. And my mom had a catty nine tail, right? I couldn't imagine calling a lawyer after I got my butt kicked.
Oh, my mother always told me, she said, if you ever call the cops, because I tried to pull the child abuse thing on her before, she goes, just make sure that, because I told her I was going to hit her back and call the cops. And she said, just make sure when you hit me, I can't curse on air, but she said, just make sure that I'm knocked the F out. She said, because.
Really?
If,
she said it?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going down.
Yeah. No. She said, because if I wake up, like, you're dead. So I was like, okay. Thanks, Mom. Never mind.
But I guess this, and the moral of this story, Howard, is times have changed, right? In other words.
Oh, absolutely.
That stuff was unheard of. And by the way, listen, we don't know that 5'10", 185-pound students. Home life, okay? And God knows what it is. And so we're not...
Well, the difference also, if you think about it, I mean, back in the day, all right, let's talk about the kids right now. They're training, they're private lessons, they understand nutrition, supplements. A lot of these kids are being pumped with hormones, whether they're off the street or even just the foods we eat. They are bigger kids. I don't remember being in high school. Like, there is a kid who's like 6'6". At my son's school. Like, that didn't exist back in the day. I don't remember any of this.
Wow.
But the kids are stronger, faster, more athletic than we were if they are doing stuff, minus the kids sitting down, like, on their phones all day. The point that I'm making is they have more exposure to social media, to different resources that they're much more dangerous, I think, today than we were years ago. Like, we would never, no one that I ever went to grade school or high school would even imagine bringing in a gun or a knife to school.
Yeah.
It's just the thought processes.
Like the teacher said, the things on the news with violence and stuff like that in the schools. That's why we do the Spark in a Dream program, and we have all these really good kids in the public schools. You should never hear about them.
Yeah.
They always hear about the what happened at Roxborough High School.
I'm gonna make a confession.
Okay,
I have never told anyone this in my life.
Okay, hold on.
We're glad
TJ,
you're sharing it with your thousands of closest friends.
Make sure this is recorded. Would you believe I brought a gun to grade school?
Wow.
No.
And I swear to God, we were talking. Me and my friends were talking in school. I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade. I never told anyone this.
Is there a statue?
I can't even believe I'm saying.
Oh my God, I'm seeing you so differently right now.
I never told anybody, but I'm going to say it on the radio to our million of listeners.
Wow.
We were talking in school, and I came from a family. We hunted. We belonged to a gun club.
Yeah,
we shot.
Well, that was normal back then.
So anyway, yeah. I was talking to my friends, and I said, "Oh, my family and I go to a pistol range on Thursday nights." So they said, oh, wow. You know, and a couple of kids said, I never saw a gun before. And I said, I'll bring one in.
Oh, my
so
God.
So before I left for school, I knew where all the keys were. I unlocked my dad's gun cabinet.
Wow.
I took his 38. I put it in my school bag, took it to school, and during lunch, I took it out.
Loaded?
No, it was unloaded. Okay. I took it out and showed everybody. Everybody held it and were like,
oh,
so heavy. And I'm
and
then I put
today.
It back and then I went home. But then as I got older, I would think back about that and I would be like, oh my gosh, thank God the nuns or teachers didn't see
today,
that.
Today, you would be walked out, escorted in handcuffs, and you would be 302'd into a mental institution with extensive evaluations and every anti. No, but I'm telling you, the times, it is different. And, you know, I remember growing
up. My parents
up,
had no idea. I put it back, locked the cabinet.
By the way, anybody in. Wait a second.
No one knew.
Anybody
your fingerprints are all over it. Everybody's
every kid in the school was touching it.
You're all accomplices.
Okay.
Anybody, this was a Catholic school, too.
Anybody in this room get shot with a deadly weapon?
Oh, boy.
My mother.
Oh, tell
my
us, Joe.
Punched me.
I want to ask
Howard, we need a story from you next.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
Here's the deal.
Joe, the weapon wasn't deadly enough, I guess.
That's I know. Right.
Joe's good. A vampire.
Who was that behind the curtain there that jumped in at it?
What was that noise?
He's about to tell us.
Miami Vice.
But let me tell you what happened. I was about 12 years old, and my buddy, they wanted to shoot bows and arrows. And my dad said to me, absolutely not, okay? And I'm okay.
Wait, you were shot by a bow and arrow?
Right.
Stop. Oh, my God, he's showing us
and
the
his pinky.
Scar.
He's showing us his pinky.
Oh, my God, that little mosquito bite.
little mosquito bite. The dude shot me. My arm broke.
Oh, God.
And it literally ruined my base, my throwing. I mean, I could always play baseball even after that, but I only
How
had
old
three
were you?
Or four. I was 12. And
oh, my God.
So I was a good.
It's
good
a bad
athlete.
Day. It's a bad day.
Especially since he did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident.
See?
So, and, you know, the guy and all my, you know, he was, we went to grade school.
Was he making that Indian sound? When he shot you?
Well, hold on.
Let's be culturally sensitive.
Do we have to erase that?
Jesus, Jenny.
He's not even paying attention. But
no, no.
Our engineer.
Here's what happened. My dad said I couldn't get one. His dad bought it for me, my own bow and arrow, right? You know, I might have not told him that my dad, you know, his dad was a cop. I'm not going to say the kid's name on the air.
No, say it. We dare you.
No, he's dead. He's dead. The guy's
well, then
dead.
You can
you
really
got, he got shot by an arrow by Joe.
I'm not going to say it. So anyway, I have the bow and arrow. We're playing up Philadelphia University. It was Raven Hill Academy back then. And we're shooting it around, and they wanted to play chicken. I'm like, I don't want to play chicken. I don't even know how to shoot this thing. I shoot it up in the air. And he looked at
it. It keeps getting better.
Whoa.
And you're what, 28?
Hold on. He has a rage in his eyes. He takes it and shoots it right at my face.
Oh my gosh.
From 15 yards away. I turned around and it hit me. And as I came back, it broke. And then he tells me, because it was, I mean, my arm was like hanging.
Oh
my gosh.
And he goes like, yes, don't tell your mom.
Yeah, okay. Well, hold on. Let me just grab
but
my
you can tell everybody. But you can tell everybody on the radio.
But
don't tell your mom.
But hold on. Here's the issue with that, medically speaking. They didn't have MRIs back in. They just sewed that baby up and put it in the cast.
Well, thank God. And you went
Look
on
you.
To be an iron worker and a nightclub yeah, owner yeah. and all the other
And a radio
things.
Personality.
Radio personality.
Keep going.
And handsome.
That was on your...
By the way...
That was on your elbow?
Yeah, right there.
Sanji, you want to examine him?
Brain connected.
He has a mosquito bite there.
But we only got 3 minutes left.
Oh, no.
I want to tell another story about my wife having a paddle.
How about Howard?
That's not important. No. You mentioned a paddle. Who said the paddle story?
Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Marla's in the
we
paddles.
We got one in our house, but that's another show and another
leather
time.
Leather paddles.
Sanjay woke up with that one.
With the little spikes on it.
Listen, I got to tell you, I mean, just to kind of close out what we were saying, it is a different day. I mean, I remember cleaning out my dad's
drawer. By the way, you people are cruel. I just told you I got shot.
I know.
What did
like
you find in your dad's drawer?
Can I entertain you anymore?
Well, my father had like what are they called? Those big vaults for guns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Armor all. What is it?
Armor all.
No, not armor all. You know what I'm talking about? Like, what? There's a name
The metal
for
box.
It.
Like the metal,
no,
the
not
security
a metal box.
Box.
Not a security box. This is
like a
closet.
Lock box?
Yeah. You know?
We got 1 minute.
Oh, we got 1 minute. Okay, but anyway, so it just didn't phase us the same way.
Did you find a gun? Is that what you found?
Oh, there was a whole boatload of guns in there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
On that note.
Howard, contact information if somebody wants to get in touch.
We want to have you back on, Howard.
Again, well, my
be our friend.
Phone is
215-732-9300. We're 123 South Broad Street, right on the corner of Broad and Sansom.
Awesome. And the name of the farm again?
Howard A. Taylor.
Fantastic. Dr. Sanjay Madnani, please.
Hello, Dr. Sanjay Madnani and Dr. Anju Madnani, Oxvalley Pain Spine Center, 215-741-7031, www.oxfordvalleypain.com.
And pain management, sir?
Yes, and we provide pain management, especially to the injured patients, motor vehicle, work comp, fall.
Okay, sounds good. Marla Vitterello, Synergy Pharmacy.
Synergy Pharmacy, located out in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. We specialize in Pennsylvania workers' comp and auto claims to make sure that your patient has their medications they need to get back to their wellness. And you can check us out at synergyscripts.com.
Fantastic. Dr. Jim
Brady. Dr. James Brady, chiropractor, offices in Bensalem, Port Richmond, East Oak Lane. 215-245-1000. We accept all insurances.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Sanjay and Jim Show here on WWDB Talk 860. On behalf of our entire panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Shout out to TJ in the producer's room. Have a great day, everybody.